In fact, I feel like that was a really good white guy thing that we never catch on camera. Recapping the drinks that you've had for the night is a very...
Don't you try and make me out to be this weird cringe villain all of a sudden.
I said,
do you wanna, hey, Dylan, do you want to talk about your day more? Fuck you, dude. I'm here in support of
I know.
And then I'm just talking about how it's 1 a.m. I've had 3 gin and tonics, an espresso martini, and I'm currently working on whiskey because I've had also a pretty dog shit day. So yeah. We're just hashing it out.
Yeah. And I've had a dog shit day. It is only 8 for me, but I'm speed running a margarita.
I actually haven't had a dog shit day. I've had a weird day, but my cousin is in town and I genuinely think she's the best. So
yeah, I've never spoken to her. I've only heard about her and I love her and I... I think she's truly the best.
She's great. Yeah. I'm forcing her to come to New Year's with us.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Because she's going back home, which is in Colorado, like
just
later this
basically
month.
Basically New
like,
York.
Which is basically New York. How big is America? A thimble?
And then yeah.
And I was like, well, you don't even need a passport. Just come to New York for New Year's. That'll be sick. It's the energy of New Year's is going to be so weird, but go.
So weird. It. Can't
it's
wait.
Be weird. Yeah,
it's going
to
be great.
Everyone's going to have to lock in for our Patreon special on New Year's Day when we run down the weird New Year's.
When we talk about which Dragon Age characters do not deserve a New Year's kiss.
No. Which Dragon Age character would you have your New Year's kiss with?
Which Dragon Age characters do you want to leave in the past so that you can make room for
which
better
Dragon
ones
Age
in the future?
Do you want to burn so you don't have to think about them in the next year? Orgrin, next.
Which of the Dragon Age characters do you want to leave outside to rot like last year's Yule log?
Like a pumpkin, half carved and unloved, sitting there unburnt every day as it slowly succumbs to the earth.
The answer to all of these is, of course, Orgrin.
If you guessed Orgrin, congratulations.
You're correct.
DM me. I will send you $5 Canadian.
Oh my God. Moving on from things in the deep roads that we hate to more things in the deep roads we hate.
That we hate.
Let's talk about The Descent.
Dog shit DLC, babe.
Also, wait, what is this? What is this?
Hi, everyone. My name is Robin. I've played the base game of not all three Dragon Age games. I've completed 2 Dragon Age games. How about that? We'll do that.
We'll stick with that. Okay. And I'm Dylan. I've played the first 3 Dragon Age games a million times.
There we go. And this is Dorkspawn, where it's a Dragon Age book club where we play all the games chapter by chapter. This week, it's The Descent, which is the DLC, the first DLC that we hit after the base game finish of Inquisition. It's where the gang go into the deep roads. It has a lot of interesting lore, and it is the most Dragon Age 2 fucking DLC ever. I felt like I was coming home every single time I walked 5 paces, and there was a pointless, overly difficult fight. Hated this DLC.
So pointless. So you'll notice that because I make the schedules for these games, I put this one as the first of the DLCs to get through. And I did that because I don't want my memory of this experience to be sullied by by this DLC. And I need to have 2 good ones after this so that we end Inquisition on a high note. Very, very important to me. So The Descent. And I do feel like I'm going to get hate for this in the Discord because I know that it is a well-loved DLC. I feel like some people feel like Inquisition doesn't have hard enough combat throughout the game. And so this DLC is for those people,
this
I feel
isn't
like.
Hard. 1 second, hold. My mom's telling me to shut up. I'm being too excited by talking to you. Hi, everyone. It's Christmas. I'm back home in London.
this is now an ASMR podcast. Bang. We have to hate this Hi, DLC everyone. Very, very, very calmly.
Seething with hatred for this DLC. Yeah, you keep going. Inquisition. So, people love
so Inquisition
this DLC.
Doesn't have a lot of hard combat, and The Descent has all of the hard combat. So much hard combat that it's excessive.
Here's my problem with that sentence is that this game doesn't have hard combat. This DLC doesn't have hard combat. This DLC has just damage sponges and too many enemies that you can't keep up with.
It's not good combat.
No, there is...
No.
I'm gonna stretch it and say two pretty good combats. One is mechanically pretty interesting. I hated it, but it's still mechanically pretty interesting. And one which had a fun idea that I might mark down as it might take the spot of the Shade and Blood Mage fight from the end of Dragon Age 2 as the worst Dragon Age combat. Humiliated me. I hated it. Anyway.
So here's what it is.
Here's what it is.
There are like earthquakes happening on the Storm Coast, apparently. And we're brought down into the Deep Roads because allegedly those earthquakes are being caused underground, possibly by Titans. So we got to go underground to the Deep Roads on an expedition. There are a couple of things about this that I like. What's the girl's name that we meet down there?
Shaper Volta.
The Shaper, right. Which I don't think that she's the Shaper we meet in Origins or like the future. I don't think she's related to the Shaper.
She's not. She's completely different. As far as I'm
Bummer.
Aware.
Because I was like, okay. So here's the thing.
I'm going to Google that. Right
now. When I first played this DLC, I was kind of excited because Inquisition didn't have enough Deep Roads for me. It didn't have like enough dwarf for me, to be honest.
They're two different characters.
We only see the Deep Roads really if you do Varric's personal quest. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's another time that you go there in Inquisition that I can think of.
You kind of go nearby a lot of Deep Road things, but you never go fully as deep into the Deep Roads as we do.
Yeah. So I was excited for this. Also, there's part of it to me in two, you know, we quote unquote go on this expedition to the Deep Roads, but we don't really spend a lot of time there. And there's part of this DLC that I like in concept, not necessarily in execution, in that we like really set up camp down there. We've got a separate war table with separate war table operations. We get to upgrade our facilities and our army and like all our stuff. And you're like, you're really there. It feels like on an expedition. You're staying in the Deep Roads for a while. And so I like that. Very theoretically. But yeah, the execution of it is that anytime you're not doing a war table thing, you're just fighting waves and waves and waves of
thousands
this.
Of...
So we do get to meet the Legion of the Dead again, which is great. Mm-hmm. Love the Legion of the Dead.
Lieutenant Ren.
Super excited about them.
Is our main guy is Lieutenant Ren.
Yeah. And then we start fighting these Shabrital guys come in waves of hundreds.
There we go. So we find Shaper Volta, and then we then meet Lieutenant Ren. Clearly those two have a big old history and they like each other a lot. And then we can adventure through the Deep Roads because, as Dylan said, Shaper Volta is like, I think these earthquakes are being caused by Titans who we've never heard of a Titan before. So that's a new new Dragon Age.
That's true.
Piece of lore. Ren is like, the Titans don't exist. Their stories. That's ridiculous. We as people who are playing a video game are like, oh, Titans are going to turn up. That's cool. we have to fight an alpha ogre. It's our first fight, and really a warning sign with how shit that fight is. You're just damage sponging this one guy over and over again. Cassandra,
it takes ages.
Who I brought with me, she can't die. I'm pretty sure she's fucking immortal. She tanked the whole fight. He was doing grab attacks to her.
Dragon
she
Hunter.
Was just soaking all the damage. She's like, I don't even give a fuck. Come at me. My team, by the way, was it was Dorian, Cassandra, and Varric was my team. I think that was a good team.
I also brought Varric and Cassandra and Dorian.
Look at us. Oh my god, so many best friends. Look at us. A thing which I really liked, because I was wondering where Helwyn's head was at, and I was like, I think she's super fucking bitter right now. She's just angry because someone that she loved took her, said that she had slave markings on her face, took her tattoos,
and ran away,
and then left, and then said, yeah, we'll talk about it after, and then stole her shit. And she's like, I actually fucking am angry right now. I'm fuming. And I thought it was fun because I was like, how am I going to play Helwyn? And on the lift down, Varric says, this reminds me of a story. And then Helwyn says, shocking. And I thought that was a fun energy that I was bringing in, where she is just pissed at everything.
My guy's delivery on that was not angry. Like the voice actor, it was like, because he said the same thing, like shocking. It was more like sarcastic, playful.
Yeah, but I read it as shocking that you would have a story for this. Like, I read it as more pissed off. So I decided to play Helwyn pretty pissed during this whole thing. She's like a little more
that
annoyed.
Is so fun. I boss is not pissed. Boss is like lost at this moment because it's like boss was a for hire mercenary and just spent the last 2 years like becoming like an actual hero and like actually important to people, and now is not needed in that same way and is searching for
some form
anything important to do.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that, actually. I think that's cute.
Yeah.
You meet them, you meet all the dwarves, you have to seal a tunnel because there's like waves and waves of darkspawn coming at you. That's a pretty fun fight. I liked that, actually.
That is fun. Can we take a pause, though, to acknowledge how funny it would be for the Inquisitor to meet the Warden and tell the Warden that, like, oh yeah, I take care of all those darkspawn. I just put up some like wood planks. I stuck a stone in that hole in the deep roads. Yeah, the darkspawn.
They can't
get much taken care of. They can't get past wood planks. You don't know that, right?
Yeah, I just painted a fake tunnel on the side of the wall, and they just keep running into it and dying. You watch Looney Tunes? They fall.
Yeah, fighting darkspawn's easy, actually.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
I fought. What I'm gonna say is almost the same amount of darkspawn, because there are thousands of these fucking guys, and I just didn't get it in my mouth because that would be gross, and I'm fine.
Yeah. I'm fine.
So what did you do?
The Warden just shakes. Valeria in her grave was...
That's actually fun. I did want to bring that up. Is there any unique dialogue lines of the fact that Valeria is a dwarf paragon? Because they mention the Grey Warden to me. They mention that the Warden had journeyed through these tunnels, and then Ren is like, yeah, I was a tad too young, but I did fight with him. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. They say that same thing. I don't recall them saying anything about her specifically.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you end up, you keep going further and further into the deep roads, and then to Volta's horror, you actually get past the deep roads, which is a term that I thought was... I thought that exclusively the term, oh, we've passed the deep roads, is scary, because
that was terrifying. We've, for 2 years, we only know that the deep roads are down here.
Yeah, and not only that it's down there, it's like, even at the beginning, we're like, so how far do the deep roads go? And then Ren is like, it's everywhere. You can go in one end of Thedas and come out the other end of Thedas.
You can go to Orle under here.
Spans the entire world. And then you're like, oh, we passed it. And it's like, how did we pass the fucking deep roads? That's crazy. But we keep going down and down and down. And then everything gets super dark, as tunnels do. And then there are a bunch. And then Ren gets shot. Oh, actually, move back. You go to a Taig, and you have the worst fight in the game. The franchise.
The franchise. Where
you have to kill 10... Oh, it's not stalkers. Skulkers or something.
Skulkers.
Skulkers. Then you have to kill 2 alpha...
Herlocks, right? Herlocks, or something.
And then 2 alpha genlocks. Then you have to kill 2 ogres, and then you have to kill 1 elite new enemy that they made.
And like, it's just in waves. It's just like,
and whilst this is happening, they are throwing not easy enemies at you over and over and over again. And it sucks. It's overwhelming.
It sucks.
I read this fight like 6-7 times. This is when you text me and you're like, hey, do you think we can record in an hour yesterday? And I was like, no, I actually don't think I can. I fucking hate this fight. I hate this fight so bad. I persevered. I ended up getting through it. And then you go down past the deep roads again. And then everything is pitch black. But then there's like eyes. You're like, as you're walking through these pitch black tunnels, you're seeing these 2 dots of blue eyes everywhere. And then as you get close, they like disappear in an effect that I was like, this is fucking scary. Actually, that's really cool. And then out of nowhere, Ren gets like a metal slug hitting at him and he dies. And it turns out that there's a bunch of like mutated dwarves down here that have guns, have like actual machine ass guns, and you get into a fight and they're fucking hard. And when I say guns, I don't mean like flintlock pistols. I'm talking full AK-47s and shit like that. These guys
they're like
suck.
Shooting you.
You're shooting you. One of them has an ability where it's fully, the noise is and then you're getting hit with bullets that do like 2 damage each, but they
Dragon
interrupt
Age.
Every move of yours. And you're like, what the fuck is this? And they're like, their armor and weapons are all infused with lyrium. So they're not coming off, and they're so strong and so sexy powerful. And you're like, cool, let's keep moving. Then you go into another tunnel, and it's like, it's got so much lyrium in it, untapped lyrium.
Untapped. It's like ceiling. A wall. It's very pretty. I will say that too. This DLC has a lot of beautiful, beautiful scenery in it.
Absolutely, it does.
Stunning, stunning scenery.
It does have my favorite scene.
In the Abyss.
Scenery.
The
inside the Titan is mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is stunning. Yeah. It's a shame that when I got there, I wanted to claw my own fucking teeth out of my mouth. Hated it. And it has like a bunch of untapped lyrium, and then it's like, well, this lyrium hasn't been touched, these veins have not been touched. And then Velta is like, well, they probably have another way of harnessing lyrium then that we don't know about. And I'm like, man, we're learning a lot about lyrium. And there's a whole sect of dwarves that have been down here for thousands of years, and they've like mutated now, but they're still dwarves. And it's like, oh my god, this is so interesting. Anyway, I hated fighting all of these guys constantly. It drove me up the fucking wall
constantly.
And then you get past them, you get to the most beautiful scene, this like huge, it's like you're outside but you're inside.
There's
it's
like
massive, there's trees,
gardens,
there's sunlight, and
there's like vegetation growing down in the deep roads. It's like, and it just, it looks like there's just this like Garden of Eden, this oasis in the middle of this deep underground cavern. It's stunning.
And in the big, big center is a giant blue lyrium heart. And Elta says, oh shit, We are inside the Titan. We found ourselves, like, this is the body of the Titan. We found ourselves inside of it. And I'm like, that's cool. Would have liked to have seen the Titan, though. I would have liked to have seen it. Like, if this thing is this big and we accidentally went into its anus, found our way to its heart.
Should have been a spectacle, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to Ant-Man into Thanos, into this thing's ass, but unfortunately not. I skipped every fight in this. I was so sick of it. I just walked past all of them. I was like, if I run fast enough, I bet you I can skip every fight. Turns out you can.
You can, yeah.
So I skipped every fight. I just ran. I was level 21 at this point. Wanted to die. And then you get all the way to the heart of the Titan. A guardian pops up in a good fight. I'll give it credit. I did die a few times, but that's because the refresh of supplies is too far away and I didn't realize where it was. I missed it because I ran through the entire dungeon. But then as soon as I re-upped my supplies and then I changed one move on my move set, I had, for those mechanics heads at home, I had the move where you, if a thing has not had damage dealt to it yet or is under, I think it's 80% health, it does like 300% more damage. And I switched that out for a move called Fallback Plan, which I plant a stick in the ground. I can do whatever I want. And then at any point I can hit Fallback Plan and I get all of my cooldowns reset. I get full health and I appear right where the thing was. So for a mission where I kept getting my ass handed to me, I did that. I also switched out my ultimate ability for Hail of Arrows, which I didn't understand why Hail of Arrows was good until I used the explosive arrow on it, because this is the Artificer specific ability and it has a bunch of it's almost like two copies of you that copy every ability that you do twice and hits all the same target. So my explosive arrows were doing stupid damage. I was hitting casual 10,000s as I was, because it was like 3,500 each for each arrow, and I was hitting three of them and it felt awesome. So that fight was fine. I appreciate mechanically it had to engage with mechanics, which, although it was frustrating, forcing me to engage with mechanics is inherently a good game design thing, because
that's
I was
true.
Like, okay, my heavy damage single target arrow isn't doing anything. What can I switch it out for? I'm going to switch it out for a healing ability. As soon as I did that, I won the battle. That's good.
That makes sense.
Good game design. Yeah. That's a good fight. So I appreciate it, even though I was genuinely pissed about how much I hated this DLC.
If the rest of the fights leading up to it were not just pointless slaughter for no reason, that would have been
stupid fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We found ourselves inside the Titan. We fought the Guardian. And then when we fought and killed the Guardian, then Velta.
Velta goes crazy. No, she just goes into it.
But then she casts magic from her dwarven hands.
Which, you mentioned this before, but then you said, oh, never mind. But she gets shot with lyrium from one of those lyrium guns. And then do magic a little bit, which is heavy on the implication. Because this is something that since Origins, I've been like, something's not adding up to me about why dwarves can't do magic. There's something at work here, because like, we also know that they can't do magic allegedly because they don't have access to the Fade, which is why dwarves don't dream. But they handle magic and they can manipulate magic and all of this stuff. And so I've been wondering, like, my first hypothesis early on in the series was like, if dwarves got access to the Fade somehow, they would be able to do magic. Or if the veil came down, like if, so like Solas is maybe planning to do, like, then maybe dwarves would have magic. And I've been thinking about that a lot, and it looks like, I mean, just from trailers and stuff, it looks like they're maybe gonna play a little bit more with that in Veilguard in a way that I don't know the answer to, so don't tell me, but like, I'm excited by that. And this is like where they first kind of tease that there's a deeper relationship
to
it.
the problem is, I think that's why I'm so mad with this DLC, is because the story is genuinely super interesting. There's a lot of really cool shit here.
Like you said, real Dragon Age 2 vibes.
Real Dragon Age 2 vibes. It's just, oh my God, let me walk five paces away and do literally anything interesting, please. Give me a shitty puzzle.
Anything.
A shitty puzzle. I'd take it. I take what I can get. I fucking hated my time.
Give me some levers to pull.
Give me some fucking levers. Give me a sliding puzzle, for fuck's sake. Oh, actually, you know what? Tell a lie. They did give me a puzzle. It's the stupid, the like three circles, the small, medium, and large circle, and you have to move them and they can't touch. And
yeah.
That's what they gave me. That's my prize.
That's what you get.
But then the Shaper casts magic and it's like, whoa, that's crazy. And then she's like, hey, I'm God now. I can, the Titan is speaking through me. I can feel all things and I am God. Don't worry, I'm still me and safe, but I am also dead. And you're like, cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna. Oh, and then weird. Don't get a choice.
Right. Don't get a choice, which I'm not that upset about. It's like, it's not your choice, it's her choice or whatever.
No. You don't get the party and it hits every party member and it's like, what are your thoughts? Should we let her live? Should we let her die? And everyone has an opinion and then the cutscene moves on. Because I was like, sick. So what am I going to do? Is Helming going to let her live with this horrific power that might come back to haunt us? Because Varric is like, it's a bad call to actually have let her do this. Cassandra is like, it's a bad call. We should kill her right now. Dorian's like, I don't care. And it's like, oh, sick. Okay, so there's going to be a decision in killing her and stopping this Titan magic or letting her live and then possibly living the consequences. And I was thinking, what would Helwyn do? And it turns out Helwyn would just walk away.
Yeah, Helwyn would just leave.
Just wouldn't care. And I was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Should have programmed that rather than the 150th fight.
Yeah. But I think that So leading up to that, like your whole journey down, Valta keeps mentioning like feeling this song, hearing this song. And we get the impression that the Shah Brital, this like cult of Lyrium obsessed and Lyrium infused dwarves that are fighting you on your way here, have been like called to the Titans in a similar way to the, I think like the archdemons like calling the Darkspawn and like controlling the Darkspawn. It's like this similar thing where the Titans are these gods that are speaking directly to them. And because they've ingested so much Lyrium, they're hearing it. That gives me questions about Templars who have ingested so much fucking Lyrium. Like, are they hearing that song? Are they feeling called or are they are all above ground maybe? So maybe they're not affected by it or something. Can it only happen to dwarves? Do the Titans just speak directly to dwarves who have taken the Lyrium?
Well, because they do. She does say that the Titans are the stone. Like they created the stone. Because
they're the gods. When the dwarves are saying like they worship the stone, it's kind of like
they're worshiping the Titans.
They're worshiping the Titans, which is like, I think that it's implied that like the stone has become so abstract that the people have forgotten like what it actually is, and this is us learning that the stone is these Titans, these enormous stone gods that
which is interesting and a cool
thing that I kind of wish
that they touched on, but they obviously didn't. They did a little bit, but not.
Darkspawn also won't go near the abyss. So there's this like sanctuary area where like the Darkspawn won't go, which I attribute also to the song of the Titans, like just kind of like just frightening them away.
Yeah.
Something interesting is if you don't do Varric's personal quest, I did realize while we were doing that if you for some reason are a monster and don't do Varric's personal quest, you wouldn't find out that Lyrium is alive in the base game. So this is a second opportunity to learn that, like, because they brought it up and I was like, oh yeah, we already knew that, but then I was like, oh, but that's like a personal quest and if you just skipped it, you wouldn't.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's true. And then you leave the Deep Roads, and that's the DLC.
That's it.
Four out of ten. The 4 points are all of the story that was good and cool in it. And then the minus six was for the abysmal everything else.
Everything else.
I hate the Deep Roads. I really wish that the developers also didn't hate the Deep Roads, so they gave me something interesting to do in the Deep Roads.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they fucking hate
me. In Origins, the Deep Roads are the one of the coolest regions in the entire game.
Oh, sure. The second half of it is, but the first half sucks.
I don't agree. I do like the, but I think that the, I think the whole sequence is so good. I think being in Orzammar is so cool. I think the Deep Roads, yes, like the first section of the Deep Roads is a little bit boring, but like it's a ramp up. They can't keep you at 100 the entire time.
Yeah, no, then it gets to arguably one of the best bits of the game, which is the Rude Mother.
I just think it's so well done. Especially now that, like, fine. I think it's like when I first played Inquisition, Origins was so far away. Like, I had had so much distance from it that I hadn't remembered that the Deep Roads were like so like terrifying and engaging and like you know, like this was just kind of frustrating.
Yeah, it was frustrating, and it's because it's I appreciate most of what they were doing because a lot of them were like hold X waves of Darkspawn, which I love an objective survive. Like, I think that is a cool thing, but like it was objective survive for like three encounters. And one of them wasn't objective survive. It was like, we're just going to keep throwing infinite enemies at you until you kill these specific enemies who are already kind of stupid hard to kill. And also, here's a big thing that I have with this game, which is a genuine problem that I have. Some enemies have elemental immunity, and you don't know what it is, A, because you can't really check it up, like, in the menu, as I found out. Maybe you can, but it's just not easy to find. But then also, it's hard to tell in battle what they're weak against, what they're immune to, because these fucking ogres were immune to a lot of shit that Dorian was doing. And I was like, hey, is it because it's cold because he has a cold staff? Is it lightning because he has a lot of lightning abilities? Like, what are you immune to? Why is your health not going down? And why is it entirely reliant on me to kill this fucking monster?
Right.
And that happens so often. I will admit I was in a bit of a pissy mood because I used mouse and keyboard for this run because I forgot my controller back in Brooklyn. But it's actually pretty good. It's actually a pretty good port. The mouse and keyboard is not bad, but I was
it's not bad because I had to. It's just it's rough to switch to that and play the stupidest fights in the whole entire game.
Stupid fights.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's another Dragon Age 2 thing because again, this is the Dragon Age 2 of DLCs where. In post, if you just tell me the story, I'm like, that's fucking cool. I like that. I like fighting through
the Titanspawn
and then the Titan lore.
The Titans are holding the world together? The Titans are like what is stopping like the world from flying off into the void?
And like also, it's not only that, they bring up questions of like, is Lyrium an ethical thing that we should be harvesting because it's clearly
because
a
it's
titan.
Alive
because it's alive and it's a titan.
It's titan like, it's blood. Hey dorks, do you like mechs, hope punk sci-fi, tabletop role-playing games?
Of course you do. They're three of the best things out there. If you want all these things in your life, then you have to pre-order The Broken Steps, the second setting guide for the Hope Punk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines, coming late 2025.
Set in a world in the far future, cut off from Earth, where inhabitants balance on a razor's edge, sleeping mechs decorate the landscape, and wakers waking mechs that kill sow the seeds of technological distrust. The Broken Steps give a detailed overview of the Surienta Simio region, including unique and exciting locations, new talents, equipments, expanded rules for mounts and vehicles, and... Robin, tell them the best part.
Settlement building rules, so you can create unique, customizable communities. Pre-order The Broken Steps now, and you can get 10% off of Dreams and Machines Player's Guide and the Dreams and Machines Game Master's Guide with the code DREAMS10.
Sup, dorks?
Listen, we know you. We know you have 100 original characters floating around in your head, and you're just waiting to talk about them, but no one ever asks.
Well, what if you could have one of your favorite fictional guys on your keys?
That's right! Hero Forge is adding the ability to have your Hero Forge character created onto acrylic keychains. They'll be the same scale as Hero Forge standees, meaning there will be a perfect match for your on-table miniature.
So head on over to Hero Forge to get your characters on keychains and have everyone asking you, oh, who's that cool little guy?
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
And it's like, should we do that? And it's like, the problem is that it asks so many cool, interesting questions and doesn't let you fucking answer them. This DLC, I could have been playing any character because I made no choices throughout the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And that, it angered me at the end because they set up a choice. They set up, are you going to kill this woman because she's part Titan now, or are you going to let her go? And then everyone has an opinion and then you walk away. And I'm like, oh, so what are we fucking doing here?
Why did it set me up to think there was a choice?
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's frustrating and disappointing because, again, just like Dragon Age 2, in hindsight, I'm like, that was pretty cool. But at the moment, I was like, I'm going to kill myself, actually. I'm going to kill myself so this game's life is changed forever.
I'm going to kill myself in front of Dragon Age
of the
video Descent.
Game. I'm gonna open up the coding of Dragon Age Descent, and then it's going to see me die and then delete 15 of the fights. I did change it to easy, by the way. Just as I, because my game crashed as well, as I was collecting, because you have to collect these like explosion rods from these fucking dark, not these darks, one of these fucking evil dwarves, and it sucks. That also sucks and is bad. However, they did, fair play to them, they did make the Corypheus fight seem like a nice breath of fresh air with how much I fucking hated these combats.
Yeah, you were like, Corypheus was too easy. And they were like, see what you're saying.
Interesting.
We heard that.
Such an interesting statement you made. you have to kill these fucking guys and then get these explosive rods. My game crashed and I went all the way back to like the top of the mines and I was like, I'm switching it to easy. Fuck this game. Actually, I'm actually so fucking angry. And then I went through it.
Did you get like the cool dragon armor?
No, I wanted to spend as little time here as possible. I did get some stuff. Like this, it has very good loot, this area.
The loot in this, you can walk out of this with more money than any other quest combined. You can walk out of here a millionaire and you can walk out of here with like the best armor and weapon in the game. You get like a weapon.
Oh, I did. I did get the dragon armor because it's literally next to your first requisition
that's
table.
Early. Yeah.
You click it and then I didn't see the armor. I just saw dragon webbing, dragon scale, dragon something else. And I was like, oh, I spent ages building this armor. I worked so fucking hard to get the stuff so I could build this shitty dragon armor and you're just giving me all this shit for free. Fuck this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm mad about it.
I appreciate that they gave us some dwarf time. Not enough dwarves in Inquisition. I appreciate dwarf lore. I appreciate like the implication that there is a way for dwarves to access magic. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And I also appreciate the insinuation that the Fade is not the only thing that can give you magic. Like we have mm-hmm. been kind of under the impression that access to the Fade is what gives you that. And that's why dwarves don't have it, is because they're cut off from that. And we're also told that they're cut off from that because they are so far underground.
Yeah.
But my thought is now that they're not really necessarily cut off from that because they're underground, but rather because something else talks to them. Mm-hmm. Like
they get their magic from a different thing.
A different source.
That is pretty sick.
And that is something I hope has implications that will be brought up in the next game. We'll see. Because it feels like they are ramping up to something on that. But yeah, I like that. I've always found it interesting that dwarves are cut off from the Fade and the implications of that. You know, like for Falaria, her very first dream ever was being spoken to by the archdemon in her sleep that first night at camp with Alistair. Like that's incredibly fucked up. You know, you have dwarves who come out of the deep roads and are afraid they're going to fall off the earth into the sky. And like this kind of lore that like these stone giants hold us all together by force is kind of a cool like origin to that sensation that the dwarves are being spoken to or sung to. We also hear that with the Lyrium idol in 2, that Red Lyrium sings to Bartrand and tells him to do things. Mm-hmm. And like we, you know, like there's all this stuff there with like leading up to the revelation that Lyrium is alive, but not only is it alive, it has a connection to the dwarves and it talks to them and can communicate and is the blood of these old gods of theirs. Just like Darkspawn are being spoken to by the Archdemon and that the Grey Wardens are being called to their death by the blood of the Archdemons. Like they're like you're being called home by this god that you unwittingly serve, whether you serve it in service of good or evil. So that's all cool, I think.
That is all cool. You're correct. Hey, what's the mug you're drinking out of?
This is not a mug at all. It's a plastic cup from the bar across the street around the corner, I mean.
I was wondering. I couldn't tell what it was. And I was like, are you drinking out of my waifu cup?
No, I did notice it. And I was sad that you don't have it. I was wondering if you missed her last night.
She'll wait for me.
Yeah,
wait for me. Like
well, I
have
know.
A picture.
There are a
of her
couple of
wallet.
Handsome mugs in my cabinet. You don't know.
I have a picture of her.
I went to the dive bar before we started and got huge. Myself a little to-go cup.
Hell yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting that you mentioned the Veilguard because this DLC does have, to me personally, the most interesting question posed in Dragon Age. I think that if I was writing a Dragon Age, the next Dragon Age, I would have it something to do with dwarves and titans
and answering these questions.
And,
yeah.
And like maybe dwarves get magic, or there's a sect of dwarves who have magic, and it's kind of some like kind of new pseudo religious figure that pops up, and then it's a bunch of people being like, how the fuck are we going to deal with this? Because dwarves now have magic, and obviously dwarves are immediately going to rally behind the dwarves that have magic and have changed the whole thing. And that's what I would have done in terms of the story, just because I know that everyone fucking loves the Solas thing, and I know that I'm a little salty because he left me on the altar, and I also haven't played Trespasser, to be clear. I, at the minute, think that that is a more interesting story. And it's a thing that I genuinely want answered. It's a thing that I think is cool and adds such fascinating implications to lore, as we were just talking about, that I would have this be a major part of the next game.
Totally. I will tell you this right now. That is a theme of the three DLCs of this game.
Is it they're
the
all...
theme is that they all pose more. I think that Dragon Age Inquisition has a lot of good lore in it all the way through. I genuinely do. I enjoy it. I think it has a lot to it. But the biggest questions, the questions that have like the most weight for the series overall, all get posed in the three DLCs. And feels like a disservice to anyone who did play just the main game. Which obviously like...
It is kind of a Dragon Age staple though. Awakening asked the most interesting questions of Origins. Legacy asked the most interesting questions of 2. You know, mm-hmm. like it's like that is a theme.
Yeah.
Is that you have the main game. Admittedly, the Origins and 2 were full, complete games that you could finish and be satisfied with, and Inquisition is not.
Inquisition cannot be complete without Trespasser. However, Jaws of Hakon and The Descent are still, in my opinion, necessary for this game to have like the weight that it deserves. Like I'm curious to hear what you're gonna think about Jaws of Hakon, because that one is my favorite.
Interesting.
Like I love Trespasser. I think Trespasser is a stunning ending. It's an excellent finale. It's beautiful, but like it's not, I guess it's not really a DLC to me. It's just the end of Inquisition.
Yeah.
Of the two DLCs, Jaws of Hakon is
the superior.
My favorite. I love cool. it a lot.
That's interesting.
Put
yeah.
some like serious thought into which parties you bring to Jaws of Hakon, because they're, unlike The Descent, there's a lot of variation in what people will say and do cool. and stuff like that.
I fully actually, this is the Jaws of Hakon is the only one that I have literally zero information on going in.
Not touched at all. Yeah.
I not touched, not heard of, not thought about. The Descent, I fought the ogre and did the fight on my first run before I completed the game on the first time I ever did this. Trespasser, everyone's fucking talking about Trespasser, so yeah, I know.
Right, everybody talks about it. It's the real end of the game, so it's in all the memes. There's like a million screenshots and videos and stuff like that about it.
Absolutely no clue about what Jaws of Hakon is about. So
I think a lot of people skip it, and I think that that's a mistake.
Interesting. Because I'm really excited to find out why that is.
Yeah, I think truly people were more excited to go to the Deep Roads because the Deep Roads is a place that you've been before in the series, and we didn't get to go there in Inquisition. Uh-huh. Jaws of Hakon, we go to the Frostback Basin, which is like we've been in the Frostback Mountains in two of the three games. I can't remember if we go there in two.
We haven't gone there in two because two is the Free Marches and like nowhere else.
Yeah. But we go there in Origins. We've been to them, but it's not like a place that's has reminiscent meaning for us or anything like that. Like it's not got like a lot of nostalgia to it. It's a completely new location. And so I think maybe that's why. And it's also not necessary. Like it doesn't have like, it's not like Trespasser where it's like, this is the true ending of the game. It's just like, mm-hmm. I feel like people felt like it was skippable, but I think it's great. I think it's really great. I'm awesome. Really excited to play it. I'm excited to put Boss in it. I'm going to have a lot of feelings and opinions, I think, about how Boss
it's huge.
Deals with this particular DLC. In fact, I like kind of want to play it tonight. But I also, do you know, I want to talk about something outside of the DLC because I did something beforehand to, because I was like, I recognized that I killed Corypheus at level 16. and then I was like, oh, I'm going to eat shit in the Deep Roads. I'm not going to survive at all. I'm not going to be able to even try to make it. So I had to do some like stuff around Thetis to beef myself up a bit. And I did something that I had skipped in this game. And I don't know if you did it because I don't remember you talking about it. But one of the optional things you can do to try to win the elves' favor, because you can, the elves give you like 5 quests and you technically only have to do, I think, 3 or 4 of them to get all their favor. And so it's like there's always 1 or 2 that you don't necessarily have to do. And one of them is doing the going around and finding all of the veil runes. Mm-hmm. That are like hidden around.
Yeah.
And then if you find all of them, you unlock a secret location on the war table map called the Temple of Durthamen, which is one of the old Elven. And I never do this one. I think I did it on probably my first playthrough. Mm-hmm. But finding all the Veil runes is kind of a pain. And there are easier ways to get the elves approval, like just turning in all the supplies and getting the Hala and finding that guy's corpse and returning the belongings and clearing out the demons or whatever. Like you do all those things and you don't have to leave the area and then you can still unlock their approval and that's fine. So I always skip that one because it takes longer. But I did it this time because I accidentally told that lady that her brother did blood magic and that's how he died. And I clicked it by accident and she was like, well, thanks, I guess, for returning his stuff, but I still lost favor with the elves.
Approval. Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I have to do this stupid one to get the approval back. So I went and I got all of the veil runes and then I unlock the Temple of Durthamen.
Yeah, I did this.
You did this one?
For some reason, you saying that was that last bit was the final puzzle piece for me.
Yeah.
I did do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the temple is cool. I forgot how cool this one was. You go and it's like the temple itself is a puzzle, which I think is cool. Because there's like
it's all about like there's like waterfalls and you have torches and you have to walk through certain areas so
you
it
have to
get
use
wet
veil
like
fire to illuminate all of these illuminate all of these idols which are parts of a old spirit that has split itself into parts and hidden itself in these idols to keep itself alive forever. And in the center of the temple, there's like a ritual site where you can then, after you've collected all of the heads of this, you know, old one, you can put them on this structure and then you summon it. And then you have like one of the hardest fights in the entire base game for a million experience. you don't even get that much loot. It's just like a ton of, I did like a full level and a half in one fight.
Huge.
But the
I do remember that this fight taught me to give characters shield breaking abilities.
Shield. Yeah. Because she puts up that shield so often.
Consistently. And it's when that shield is down, you have like 2 minutes to do as much damage as physically possible before she puts that shield back up, and it sucks.
Awful. But like, even on the journey there, it's a very interesting temple because like going through it, like the puzzle itself, like things open and close, and like there are like all these levers and stuff that like change the direction of the waterfalls, because you can't get Veilfire from every room. You have to get it from like the center of the temple, and then you have to run through the temple with it to illuminate these spots and unlock these things. And anyway, I just thought that was a fun, like just an area to do. Mm. And I had forgotten about it because I haven't done it since probably my first playthrough. And it was pretty rad. I found it really cool. And like every time you activated one of these temples, of course you got to fight some really cool enemies. So in the end, I went in like having beaten Corypheus at level 16. And I came out of that temple at 18 and a bit.
Yeah, because the enemies in that temple are pretty fucking brutal.
They're pretty brutal, and there are a bunch of them.
I actually remember whilst fighting it, I was running away from a lot of fights. And then that last boss, everyone was down except for Helwyn. I popped stealth and I left the temple. I just was like, actually, fuck this. And I went and I got all my, like, you know, supplies back and everything. And then I walked back in and I did the final boss, just the final boss and no other combats, because I was so spent by the end of it.
That's funny.
That's when I switched out Solas to be like, give me someone who has fucking shield break, please, for the love of fuck.
Yeah. So I was pretty excited about that. So I just wanted to bring it up because I like that. I like that about what we're doing. I feel like that's happening a lot for me, is that like I'm encountering things that I have either not paid enough attention to because I play these games as a comfort game now, mm-hmm. because I've played them so many times that I forget to pay attention to certain stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or like there's stuff that I did once and then now I breeze past it and have forgotten that it was actually a cool thing.
Yeah.
So that was a fun one for me. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome. Yeah.
That is cool. I didn't do any extra little bits. I did all the DLC yesterday. We've had a fucking busy week. We went to PAX and then I came back to London. So I was like, oh, I don't have any fucking time to do anything exciting. Mm-hmm. So I just did the Descent. And then that's about it. I am excited for some things to like close out some war table stuff and do a little, because I've almost 100% at the war table as far as I'm aware.
That's fascinating. I'm overrun on the war table, to be honest.
Oh yeah, just too much shit.
I gotta crack into that.
Yeah. But it was cool because when I was going to the war table to discuss next moves, Cullen was like, so do I refer to you as Divine Victoria now, or are you still to us? Like, what's happening? And I was like, oh shit, they have post-game
dialogue.
And
she's like, Liliana, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, stop this. Yeah, I need informality in my life. I hate this. And she's also not changed her clothes. She's still still Liliana. Yeah,
yeah. She's like, I can be the Pope and still be a murdering spy. Yeah. That's...
A girl can work two jobs, for fuck's sake. It's the modern day.
God forbid I have hobbies.
Liliana, little murder. For you, as long as you're murdering.
Yeah, for
you,
as a treat, babe. As a treat, just, you know, whatever. I also confronted Blackwall about his feelings for Josephine. I was like, you are in love with Josephine. That. I see the flowers on her desk every day. the war table confronted her about it. They were like, so a secret admirer, huh? And she's like, shut up.
Oh, that's so cute. I tried to proc that and I wasn't able to get it. I talked to Josephine a bunch and then she never brought anything up. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
They hate each other in my playthrough.
I love it. I love it so much.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So next week we're doing Joseph Hack-On. Literally so thrilled. I'm trying to temper how thrilled I am because if you don't like it, I need to be okay with that. I need to internalize that it's going to be fine.
What quest do I have to start for?
Oh, so you want to, it's like something through the Frostback Mountains or through the Frostback Basin. It's on the right-hand side of the war table in the lower left corner.
Okay. I actually do think I have to do some missions for power beforehand because I blasted all of my power
in the deep roads. Yeah.
Which is fine. I wasn't opposed to it. I thought it was cool. I wanted to unlock that, but then I'm now all out of juice.
Yeah.
More juice.
You'll get more juice. It'll be okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm really just excited about it. So let's see. Do we have anything else? Anything else for this
Anything else about Dragon Age?
About The Descent?
No, I don't think so. It's weird because, again, it has a lot of potential, but it's just bogged down between too many fights and too many mechanics that are just so shitty. Mm-hmm. And the only puzzle is a little collect-a-thon where you have to collect X amount of cogs.
Yeah. yeah.
Something interesting. Yeah, so no, not really. I'm excited for Joseph Hack-On. I had no opinions of it and forgot it existed. I knew we had one extra DLC before Trespasser, but your joy of it is making me be like, ooh, okay.
How do you feel about the wildlings in Game of Thrones?
Ambivalent, but I imagine they're going to come up, really. I imagine the Anar? Who are they?
The Avar.
The Avar.
We meet one Avar in the base game. Or technically, I guess we meet two. We meet
the guy
that we can recruit. And then we meet the guy who throws his goat at our wall because his son tried to kill us.
And still what the funniest interaction in that, like those scenes.
In the sit and judgment quests. Yeah.
Is the one cutaway joke of a goat being thrown against a wall.
Yeah. It's like, and I love it because it's so early in the game. Like it's just such funny thing.
It's genuinely one of my highlights. I think that's a good, strong joke. Mm-hmm. I do like it. Yeah.
That's really good. Well, we're going to meet a whole bunch more of them and they're better written than the two that we meet in the base game. And there's like, it's good. And they all have a vague, wildling-esque vibe about them.
Like that.
Mostly the accent and the fact that they're all in like winter gear, so it just gives that kind of vibe. Yeah. It's fun. I think you're gonna like it. So that's it.
It's cool. Love that. Huge.
All right. Oh, wait. No. This quest doesn't have a quote in the
There's no deep roads.
Doesn't have a deep roads quote, but we can still ASMR style.
You know, you can find other deep roads esque quotes on our Patreon. Go to our Patreon.
Get on our Patreon if we make it to $100 a month on the Patchwork Productions Patreon, I will release the secret episode of Dorkspawn.
Oh my god. In that secret episode is way later than it is now, and I'm a quarter tired than I am right now.
Yeah. We're both smashed in that one.
My ass. Oh my god. Yeah, we are
We're drunk. Blazed. We're in a fully lit recording studio, so we look fantastic.
Yeah.
And we get interrupted by a TikTok celebrity who is about to drop the hottest goss on earth.
Do you want to know that goss? Do you want to know the TikTok celebrity? Find out next time by getting us to $100 a month on Patreon. We also have Frequencies, which is out. It's a show that IGM and Dylan has edited and stars in. It is the best. It's a horror.
It's good.
Christmas time. Time for horror.
I genuinely do agree with you.
Christmas
actually.
Carol? Yeah. Ghosts. Ooh.
Ghosts.
Has a lot lesson. Of ghosts in it. Exactly. We're also releasing that, and then we have early episodes out on the Patreon. It's called Frequencies.
Yeah, in fact, there's a sneak peek that I just posted 2 days ago on the Patreon. So go listen to it.
Huge for us. Okay, losers. Gather around the war table.
You fucking useless.
Beg for me.
Beg.
That we succeed. For we have seen the throne of the gods,
and it is empty.
Honestly, the thing is, right?
Yeah.
Origins had meaning. The Grey Warden signature, loved that. Two had insults and was funny and a good bit. This one is horny. What are we going to do for the Veil Guard? Like,
we're going to have to figure that out on the fly. We don't know.
We've covered the triangle of human emotions.
All three of them. Meaning?
Yeah. Meaning?
Just so we're recapping. Meaning being mean and being horny.
Horny.
the three states of human emotion.
Three major food groups is what we've already hit.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the Veil Guard to see what we get, because also we don't know the Veil Guard at all. This one at least has you coming in with some knowledge. Yeah.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
We're fucked.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Dorkspawn, and thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon over on Patchwork Productions. That is where you can hear Dorkspawn, like special edition. You can hear Frequencies behind the scenes and early editions. And all of that. So please support us if you can. Thank you to everyone who's supporting us there, but a special thank you to Callum, Meadow, Parker Lang, and Rodrigo.